This is a behind-the-scenes look at A Girl's Guide to Vampires, the first Dark Ones novel, published November 2003. Please note that spoilers galore will abound, so if you haven't read A Girl's Guide to Vampires and don't wish to have the plot spoiled for you, you'd better stop listening. The idea and title for this book both came to me about the same time. I was a newly published author with Dorchester and had been voraciously consuming a number of paranormal vampire novels. At the time, one of my fellow Dorchester authors was Christine Feehan, a lovely woman with a wonderful ability to write dark, brooding vampire heroes who really turned my crank. Although I loved Christine's book and aspired to write something in a similar vein, I knew I could never pull it off. My voice and sense of humor is just too odd to ever write dark, emotional books. I knew that if I tried to write my own version of vampires, they would come out, well, quirky, with warped senses of humor. In other words, very tongue-in-cheek. And who ever heard of a tongue-in-cheek vampire with a warped sense of humor? It just wasn't done. But ever the black sheep, I decided that perhaps someone might like my sort of vampires and spent some time thinking about the qualities that I'd want to be prevalent in my mythos. Obviously, they'd have to drink blood. But my vamps weren't going to be the result of an illness or genetic change or even biological warfare. My vamps would have their origin in a few random thoughts that were whisking around the dusty hallways of my mind. Origins that had their roots in a complex world that existed alongside our own, an other world. Thus, the Moravian Dark Ones were born. I was a bit hesitant about using that name for them since Christine's Carpathians were so popular, but I'd done some research on an area in what is now the Czech Republic, which was practically oozing with folklore, and the Moravian Highlands were just too perfect a location to ignore. In fact, it was so perfect, I set the first book there, smack dab in Vampire Central. My original idea for the book was based on my musings of what I would do if I ran into a man who turned out to be a vampire. Joy Randall had a few of her traits lifted straight from me. She was tall, prone to klutziness, and had a fine appreciation for douchey men, not to mention a natural skepticism that was going to find itself seriously tried. As I started writing the book, I found that the vampire romance author I intended to be, the Red Herring, Christian Dante, was turning out to be a whole lot more. What was worse, Raphael, the hero, stubbornly refused to not only be a vampire, but to even believe they existed. He was even more of a skeptic than Joy, something I struggled with for a bit, but in the end gave in and let him have his way. Joy, incidentally, bears both the middle name for my mother and myself. It was never a name I particularly liked, but it suited her to a T. Raphael was a little nod to the first novel I wrote, which had a male protagonist named Griffin St. John. I decided Raphael was going to be his great-great-grandson and blessed him with the same amber eyes, although the pronunciation of his surname changed. As soon as the book came out, I started getting emails from readers asking what was up with Raphael's eye color, his steadfast refusal to accept things otherworldly. They speculated that he was some sort of a werewolf and demanded I dish with the truth. It's taken 4 years, but I've finally addressed the question of Raphael in a short story which will appear in a 2008 anthology titled My Big Fat Supernatural Honeymoon. The idea for Goth Fair came to me one day after I passed through a room in which my husband was watching a show about modern-day freak shows. It was disturbing enough that I soon left the room, but the idea stuck in my head of what a paranormal traveling show would be like and what a great setting it would make for a story. And speaking of settings, the ones that I used in this book are based on actual places, although I took some license with them and changed their names slightly. One of the things I found out while doing research for the book was just how the International Police Agency Interpol worked. I'd always naively believed they had carte blanche to go in and do covert things in various countries, But to my surprise, I found out that they are not a recognized police force at all. That changed my plan for the plot somewhat, since I couldn't set Raphael to arresting anyone if he had no power. Instead, he changed to a more investigative role, one which ended up working better because it gave him and Joy some serious conflict to deal with. No discussion of Girl's Guide to Vampires would be complete without a brief nod to the cover. Although I've been blessed with excellent covers for many of my books, I feel that the art department at Dorchester really broke the mold with this cover. I loved it so much, I had a large poster of it printed up, which now hangs in my office. It remains to this day the favorite of all my covers. The only thing I remember contributing to the cover conversation was a desire for a photorealistic cover rather than the cartoon covers which normally adorn humorous books, and a suggestion that part of a woman's face could be included with a bat or heart-covered band-aid on her neck. I still smile whenever I see that gorgeous cover. And now it's trivia time. Readers who have read my young adult vampire series may have noticed that one character has managed to cross over from adult books to young adult books. Miranda, the Wiccan who opens Girl's Guide to Vampires. Although her character wasn't on scene much, I liked her and the goth fair sufficiently to use them both in the Fran and Ben YA series. David the Cat is also present, and there's even a little mention in Got Fangs of the previous owners of Goth Fair having sold the fair to the present owners. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this behind-the-scenes podcast about A Girl's Guide to Vampires. If you'd like more information about the Dark Ones and their place in the other world, pop over to dragonseps.com or katiemcallister.com. And feel free to drop me a line if you have questions at katie@katiemcallister.com.